All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast. My name is Tom, part of the Social Podcast Network, socialpodcastnetwork.com. Check it out. A lot of great folks doing great things. It is Friday, February 12th. Good morning. Yeah, so how's everyone? I'm running a little, not behind, but I got 45 minutes to do something for a half an hour. Hopefully it all goes well. I got up this morning, had a nice run. I'm trying to get back to just doing the simple little basic things. I shared about it. I listen to some of these podcasts just to check the sound. Sometimes they have an echo. Sorry about the one that had echo. I don't know what that was about. The one yesterday has had some weird sound to it, but you know, I check it out because when I got done yesterday, I was really I don't know what it was, but I wasn't really comfortable how I was feeling and the podcast that I was doing. It is what it is, right? But you know, I talked about like buying my own bullshit, and you know, that is always an issue. But the thing I wanted to talk about today was the value that we have in ourselves and how it makes me, let me back that up. I want to talk about the value that I have in myself. I've never considered myself valuable, right? I've never thought well of myself. I've always, you know, I've never been able to, you know, I wasn't big into sports. I wasn't super hip. I just, you know, I've never felt good enough. I don't know if that's from being adopted. I mean, could it be something that early in life? As an eight-day-old little baby, because I was adopted when I was 8 days old, did I look out of my eyes and somehow comprehend what was going on and had a chip on my shoulder about it at 8 days old? Did I take it personally? Did I feel like someone didn't want me? I definitely did not remember that. But that would be kind of the theme for my life, just never good enough. Never fit in, not tall enough, not fast enough, not funny enough. Just never good enough. So always thinking on the negative, half empty. Oh, they won't like me. Oh, she doesn't like me. Oh, I won't complete that. Oh, I won't pass. I'll never do this. May not be today, may be tomorrow, maybe the day after, but at some point something bad is going to happen because it's just the way it is for me. I mean, it's not something that I made a decision on early in my life that I was going to be like that. It's just kind of how it was. And, you know, addressing my life, the podcast, I talked about freedom. You know, freedom, I don't feel like it's something that we just get. I feel like freedom is a byproduct of a lot of hard work, analyzing my life, removing things that are bad and bringing things that are positive into my life. And all that work in the end creates freedom. And I think that the same thing happens with sobriety, serenity. You know, sobriety isn't something I go find. I take away alcohol out of my life, and what's left is sobriety, defined by the definition of sobriety, to be without drink. Right? And then you get farther into it, and you start working through the steps, and you know, unfortunately, we're so excited. I'm so excited. I was so excited early on that I just wanted to get into it, roll up my sleeves, do the work. And you kind of move through the steps pretty quickly, and you're doing everything and writing it down and doing what you're supposed to do. But, you know, I mean, if I'm to be honest, it was all about succeeding, right? Like, fuck, I really struggled in high school. I really struggled in college. I've really struggled in relationships. I've definitely really struggled in the life of the life I was living as an alcoholic drug addict. That was the toughest part, really. It just didn't go well for me. But these 12 steps in front of me, this looks like a test I can pass. And so you scurry right through it. And on the other side, you're just sober, right? You're just free of drink. And there's usually a point for me, or there was a point for me that it was really where the rubber started hitting the road. Like, have you done any work here? Like, looking back, I look at it and I go, you did not feel any better. You definitely felt better than how you had felt prior to the day that you stopped drinking. But in the end, I was still not good enough. Didn't fit in. It brought me back to kind of where I was before I started. Dwelling. Having conversations with myself. Running it through the committee up in my head. I can remember being completely sober, no alcohol. And I was working on a golf course, and I may have shared this before, but I used to have to cut, you know, I would come in the morning, we'd do cut greens or whatever, and then the afternoon we'd get assigned a job. Usually one of the jobs I would do would be cut green banks. So, you know, I'd be on a mower all afternoon. Just me and the land and the machine and my thoughts. And I'd be mowing grass, and I'd see people ride by on golf carts, and they'd look at me, and I'd look at them, and I'd be like, they're fucking talking shit about me. They're bad-mouthing me. They're laughing at me. I mean, why would I even think that? I mean, there's, for every reaction, there's an action, or is it for every action, there's a reaction? I don't know. But the reaction that I had, I feel, was because inside I had created this guy that just wasn't good enough. I created a guy that everybody would badmouth in my head. And on the outside, there was nothing. I was just a human, right? But I created this person that wasn't good enough. And maybe, you know, it started early. I don't know where it started. I know that... you know, I made a lot of bad choices early on in my life, so I built up a lot of evidence that my personal thoughts that I wasn't that great, it seemed true. If I just gathered all the evidence, you know, I struggled in school. I hated school. Ditched school. I spent 9th and 10th, I think I spent 10th and 11th grade grounded. You know? So if I stood back and looked at my behavior and my life, I'd say, yep, you're right, Tom, you are not very good. And, you know, however, I guess probably about maybe my first year of sobriety, I was free from drink, but still not good. Still not a very good person in my mind. And I would see that on the golf course, or I would see that, you know, interacting with people, or, you know, I remember I shared that when I first, the real first girlfriend that I had in sobriety, the whole time, I wasn't good enough. The whole time she was going to break up with me at any minute. And of course, you know, you don't realize it at the time, but people see that shit. And it gets frustrating. But as I didn't have any clue. You know, I'm dating this girl. I'm like, you know, I'm lucky. There's no way in hell she was lucky to have me. I was lucky to have her. And it's just something that, I don't know, pre-wired in me. But at some point, you know, I had to, you know, at some point I drank, right? I drank after 4.5 years. And I wasn't, I, you know, 4.5, almost 5 years of sobriety, not sober. Taking pain pills periodically during that time for a back issue. You know, the weird behavior, sitting on a mower, hating myself. I mean, that is, if there was a coin given for every time, like if you could be sober from being a, you know, from self-deprecating, I would probably have to pick up a new coin every day. But that is not drinking. But at the time, I didn't realize that that is part of the journey to serenity. But serenity was not even on my radar, and I can honestly tell you that it's really started to become on my radar just in the last few years. The last few years. And it's been almost 24 years since I walked into these rooms. And, you know, I just celebrated 12 years in December. In just the last few months, serenity has started to become a thing. I didn't come here for serenity. I came here to stop drinking. I didn't come here for God. I came here to stop drinking. Actually, I didn't even come here to stop drinking. I came here to stop getting caught at it. I mean, how much does honesty start to play a role in the future of your sobriety? Rarely have we seen a person fail who has thoroughly followed our path. Honesty. And when I started getting honest about this stuff, taking a hard look at all this stuff, I started realizing that I'm not here, I don't want to drink, right? I don't want to get caught. But if I'm here long enough, I want to start removing things. And the first one that I didn't make a conscious decision to remove this, but it just started happening. Starting to work with Matt. You know, Matt, you know, I talk about that phone call that he used to call me every day. We'll see how it works out. And I used to dial that number. And when he didn't answer, he didn't like me. When he didn't answer, I wasn't good enough. So instead of going, "Tom, you dumbass," I would call at different times when I know that he wouldn't answer. That way, I just knew, you know, he's busy. I know he's probably busy right now. Or no, he's probably asleep. I would call it like 6 in the morning. You know, I'd go run, call him in the morning. He wouldn't answer. I'm like, it ain't because he doesn't like me. It ain't because I'm not good enough. It's because he's sleeping. But that's my go-to. That's my fallback. I'm not good enough. He don't like me. And when you dial that number for 7 years, you start to go, "What? Wait a minute, Tom. What are you fucking doing, man?" You start looking at things. You know, I've talked about serenity. You know, and a relationship with a higher power. You know, it's like when if somebody came up to me and said, "Here, bro, take this nice Corvette, it's yours." I'd say, "Sweet." And then he took the keys, threw them in my garage, and then filled the garage with fucking boxes. Shut the door and said, "Have a nice day." I got the car. But I don't know how to use it. I can't get the keys. I can look at it. I can hear. I can read about it. Right? Oh, my God. This is a great fucking car. Guy down the street says, "That's a great car." I go. I join clubs. I join meetings. I go to meetings every night and talk about my car. But until I feel like rolling up my fucking sleeves, fucking open the garage door and start looking at the boxes. Self-centered fear. All these character defects. It turns out it's a garage full of boxes of character defects. I think the biggest box that I had to... I think the biggest thing that I had to do to even prepare to start to remove those boxes was to start to stay in the moment. Staying in the moment. It's very safe. I can see it. I get it. It's there. I'm in the moment right now. I'm sitting at a table in front of a computer talking into a microphone with my banana next to me and my phone. And I know right now there's nothing that can hurt me. And starting to get an understanding of that and starting to feel a little bit secure with that, I was able to start to look at these fucking boxes, right? I mean, you can create a path to the keys. And I think that's what I do. I think that's what a lot of people do. We clear a path, direct path to the key. And so, you know, I don't know how deep it is. Maybe six boxes deep. You're working on, you know, whatever it is. I can't list everything that would be an issue, but I know I had a bunch of them, and I still do. Because I make that, clear that path to the key, to the serenity, to the car, to the spiritual awakening, and start to get glimpses of it. Maybe the key part I find is the part that unlocks the door, right? And then I get in and I start realizing, look at all the great stuff in here. Let me take some more boxes out. Working a 12-step program, being honest, getting, you know, just exposing it all, letting it all hang out. Boxes start coming out. Removal of the boxes. Byproduct of the removal of the boxes is what? Serenity.
I learned politeness on my mother's knee. I learned by a brightness my number of friends should increase. When I think about the things I've done, I laugh out loud to no one, yeah, to no one. Cause it's so hard to meet the eyes that I see when I try to open up my heart. There's something inside me and I know it's good, but understanding is misunderstood. At the end of a smile, there's a laugh and a half. But I became honest, Mr. Mistaken. In spite of the curves my smile was making, bumpers and kickers in one big stream. I grew up in a life-size pinball machine. Healing me. Cause it's so hard to meet the eyes that I see when I try to open up my heart. There's something inside me and I know it's good, but understanding is misunderstood. At the end of a smile, there's a laugh and a half. On my behalf, there's something inside me and
wow. I remember I heard that song a long time ago. I was like, wow, that's heavy. But serenity. Serenity is a byproduct. Spiritual awakening is a byproduct. Sobriety is a byproduct. Freedom is a byproduct of a fucking lot of hard work. You ain't entitled to serenity. You're not entitled to freedom, and you're not entitled to sobriety. I think we're all a little fucking too entitled, quite honestly. I feel like this is one big, you can't have that. You know, this morning I was talking to my daughter. And she's 8. And she is like, you know, she's 8. She's like kind of run the house up until this point. You know, great kid. Fucking, you know, love my daughter. But at some point, I've been a fan, right? I've been a fan of my kids. But at some point, I got to step in and go, listen, I love you, but you got to fucking shape up a bit. And we kind of had one of those moments this morning, and I was talking to her, and she's going to grandma's tonight, and she was not very nice to me. But she stared into her iPad and had just the world by the balls, and I fucking grabbed that iPad, and I flipped it over, and I sat it down. I go, look, I need you to start being a little bit nicer. It's time. I need you to start getting with the program. You are not 5. And I said, I love you, but we need to start doing this. It's becoming a little bit of a challenge. It's, my wife's getting a little frustrated. My daughter is so freaking cute. I said, that's her worst problem. She's so damn cute. She flaps some eyelids at me and those eyelashes at me, and I'm like, okay. But, you know, then shame on me. You know, there's a fine line, right? You know, I always tell my parents, I think you did too much. My parents were constantly that safety net under me. And I knew it. I'll never sleep under a bridge. I'll never lose everything. My parents, they love me. And they did, and they stuck with me, and I never did sleep under a bridge. But, you know, that entitlement, that's, you know, arrogance, it would turn out to be very bad for me. So as a parent, you want to try to avoid that, right? Create some character, not a character. And I tell you what, when I sat that iPad down, my daughter looked at me with these eyes like, oh, this is different. And I wasn't mean. But I said, listen, it's time to start being a little better. And, you know, that happened to me in this program, you know. I'm sober. I'm not drinking. But I'm not really getting any better. You ever do something and then realize once you've done it, you would like to find out if there's more? That's kind of what happened to me with sobriety. And I think that's kind of what happens. And I think that's what kind of needs to happen. If someone's coming into a program, yeah, get in. Stop drinking. Stop using. Get a few days and, you know, between you and your last use. But never close your eyes. Never count out that there might be more. Never count it out. I still want more. I still want more. And in the end, you start to create a new, more valuable you. Where I'm at today, I could care less, really, what anybody thinks of me. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but I know that I live a decent life, right? I live a decent life, a pretty clean life. You know, we're trying to do all the things that we can do, work and balance children and working and getting older and just doing things. But I live a decent life. I just have to think about that, and it takes 1 second, and I realize there's nothing that I've done that should have upset anybody. There's nothing that I've done that gives a person like that a case against me. I'm decent. You know, and I watch my wife. You know, my wife has just had, just celebrated 2 years. But she doesn't find the value in herself. And I'm like, you're awesome, babe, you know. But she is like me. Her and I are a lot alike. She's grown up not feeling like that she's worth anything. And she hides it, you know, and my wife is a beautiful, funny, great young lady. But inside, the almond. I told her, man, you need to start practicing being valuable. I think we all do. I know I do. And let's see. Let me read a little bit. I got to go work. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Merger. I don't know why I keep... Oh, I know. My freaking mother-in-law is making... She wants me to make buffalo chicken egg rolls. I'm like, I'm trying to eat clean. I don't want to eat that. But I must have Googled 50,000 things last night, so I lost my daily reflections. February the 12th, just like I said. Look at that. Surprise. The root of our troubles. Uh-oh. Here we go. It's all getting explained right now. February 12th, the root of our troubles, selfishness, self-centeredness, that we think is the root of our trouble. Selfish, let me see. Selfishness, self-centeredness. That we think is the root of our trouble. That we think is the root of our trouble. I could have told you, I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. Alcoholics Anonymous, page 62. Here we go. How amazing the revelation that the world and everyone in it can get along just fine with or without me. What a relief to know that people, places, and things will be perfectly okay without my control and direction. And how worldlessly wonderful to come to believe that a power greater than me exists separate and apart from myself. I believe that the feeling of separation I experience between me and God will one day vanish. In the meantime, faith must serve as the pathway to the center of my life. Yep. I'm not sure what that meant, but, you know, that's me on the mower. They're talking about me. They don't like me. Poor me. It's fucked up. It's tricky, too. And you've been tricked, folks. You came in thinking you had a drinking problem, and in the end, you had a thinking problem. Oh, and you can't drink either. You can't drink either. Listen, start working on the boxes. I have. I got a damn full, you know, and part of my story was that, you know, you create the path, and so you feel like you have serenity, but the rest of those boxes that you left selfishly not working on just so that you could have the Corvette, you know, you're feeling like you're having a relationship with a higher power, you're recognizing it, you're turning over shit, but in the end, you're still fucking insane. I try to feel some silence, cause the silence feels so long. I knew the ice was getting thinner, but I kept skating on. My mother threw me into this world as a winner, but by the light of the yellow beer, they tell jokes I'll never get to hear. On my behalf, there's something inside me, and I know it's good, but understanding is misunderstood. At the end of a smile, there's a laugh and a half. Yeah, on my behalf, there's something inside me, and